Jingles.
Welcome to the TK Jingles broadcast for April 6, 2016. I'm your host, Jerry Negrelli. This broadcast once again features songs from the Tony Kornheiser Radio Show and TKJingles.com. Sadly, the Schwitzcast was simply too good. I can't maintain that level of quality, so I'm going back to the old schlock that I can do in my sleep. Today's episode, we're going to feature a little talky part up front about entertainment and the contract between an entertainer and his audience. We will feature some new songs from TKJingles.com, a featured segment on Tony's repetitive talking about stuff, Raju, some random stuff, and the mailbag.
You should trust the process. If you feel that you got something to say, well, shut your mouth, 'cause I don't wanna hear you complain. Man, don't give me that stuff. At this point, haven't I earned your trust? I've worked in this business for years. You're just some fan, but you act like you think that we're peers. So cool it with all your disgust. I'm credentialed, therefore I deserve trust. I deserve trust. I'm a pro. Just some Joe.
That's right, I'm just some Joe, but I do have an opinion, as I'm sure many of you do as well, about this broadcast and many other things. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the entertainment process, the relationship between entertainer and audience, and I think there's a lot of overlap with TK Jingles, with the Schwitz, with Tony Kornheiser, and so stay with me here. This past weekend, The Walking Dead aired its season 6 finale, and if you follow me on Twitter, you'll notice that I was pretty ticked about it. The ending was just awful. I mean, I can imagine they could have made it worse, but I don't know what that would be. It was just gimmicky, it was bad storytelling, it was misleading, it was disrespectful to the audience. And for the most part, Twitter and fans of the show seemed to agree with that, but there were some who didn't. And one of the things that I saw quite often was a response that said, "Hell, man, it's just a TV show, relax." Well, yeah, I mean, it is just a TV show, but when you have to remind yourself, oh, this is just TV, I shouldn't be so upset, then in my opinion, the creators have failed, because that attitude leads to indifference, which leads to me turning off the set. And then the other argument that the rest of this rant is about is the idea that as a fan, I should simply trust the powers that be because they know better. And there were a few tweets at me directly that said, "It just seems arrogant to suggest any fan is more capable of making that call than the professionals." And here's another one. "I always find myself asking between me and Greg Nicotero, which one of us has had any success in TV? Then I trust the process." So, you know, the idea that it's somehow arrogant to have an opinion about this or to be dissatisfied or to say that here's a, maybe what a better path would have been is ridiculous. This idea of an appeal to authority or credentialism is just so dumb. And if you think about Tony Kornheiser, and bringing this back for a second, that is the exact same argument that Mike Golic gave to explain why Tony shouldn't get the Monday Night Football job. Golic said, "Oh, Tony never played football. What could he know about football? He shouldn't get this job." That's garbage. I mean, maybe Tony couldn't do the job or whatever. In the long run, maybe he wasn't well suited for it. But the idea that you aren't entitled to have an opinion about something or to express, you know, feedback or what might have been a better take in your opinion, anybody's entitled to an opinion. Just because you have a credential or because you've done a job for a long time means nothing. What you're doing right now in this moment should be evaluated on its own merits. What have you done for me lately? Not what did you do for me 3 years ago? I've done 300 jingles, but if 301st jingle is a piece of crap, that doesn't mean you should like it just because I did 300 before that. It reminded me of a quote from Russell Crowe. A few years ago, he was on 60 Minutes, and this quote always stuck with me. So I wanted to share it here because it is perfectly suited for this conversation. So here's Russell Crowe, and I'm going to just quote verbatim. He says, "Do I feel in an odd way that there should be some kind of understanding between me and an audience now that I've done the movie, regardless of the subject matter? You should turn up because it's going to be a good film. I know it's kind of wacky to say that, but yeah, I do feel that way. I do feel after, you know, LA Confidential, The Insider, Gladiator, etc., there should be some understanding between me and the audience that, you know, if I've done it, one, I put a lot of effort into it, and two, there's something about it that will touch your heart. So again, that is not how it works. So I've done 300 jingles. I personally think you should love them all, and I'm disappointed when some aren't downloaded very much or don't receive many comments or I get some kind of trollish feedback that it sucks. But I get it. You have favorites and you have some you either don't like or just don't have time to play. That's the deal. Last week I did a whole episode about the Schwitz. I find that topic freaking hilarious. Some of you may not. And just because you loved Wilbon's World doesn't mean you're going to find Schwitz with My Bros to be a work of genius. And that is okay. So also I love Billy Joel and I've done a zillion Billy Joel jingles just like that intro. But frankly, The Entertainer is an awful song. And when I saw Billy live a few years ago, I was horribly disappointed. He totally mailed it in. But again, that's okay. Just because Billy Joel is famous, just because he's a tremendous talent, that doesn't mean he's infallible. Like Tony Kornheiser, I listen to his show all the time, but that doesn't mean I have to like every segment. The golf stuff, March Madness, you know, that's boring to me. But so what? I can still love his show, but not like it all the time. Entertainment is there to be enjoyed. The audience doesn't owe the creator a damn thing. But I do think that the creator owes the audience. He owes them a little respect, especially if they're paying for a product. I mean, last week, the TK Jingles thing is free, but I felt in my heart of hearts that even though I find the Schwitz hilarious, and I knew that 10 or 20 people might like that too, I wanted to put a real episode out too because I actually have respect for those listening to this show, and I figured if I just went all Schwitz, what a rude thing. That's self-indulgent. That's for me. And I do that periodically on this podcast, but for 30 seconds, for a minute, and then I try to fill the rest of the show with things that I think everyone will enjoy. So, and that's me doing this for free, feeling that obligation. So when somebody who is getting paid to do this, when somebody is on a network and viewers are basically paying them for content, then of course, there's an obligation to make it quality. There's an obligation to do a little bit for them, a little bit for you, whatever. And just owing that kind of respect to the crowd. Now, Robert Kirkman, who created The Walking Dead, is constantly taunting fans in the comic. If you read the letters segment, because I happen to read the Walking Dead comic book, people write in and say, Kirkman, you've done it. That's the last straw. I'm quitting this book tomorrow. And then he always has some snarky reply that says, no, you're not. You're not going anywhere. Basically daring people to quit. And, you know, frankly, if the product is that good, like The Walking Dead comic is generally very good, he's right. People will keep buying it. But at some point, if it's not, they will stop buying. And that is the contract between the creator and the audience. So you can troll your fans, you can taunt them, you can bore them, and then ultimately you're going to lose them. So with that in mind, today's episode now, we're going to get to the jingles. I hope that, you know, if you saw any of those rants on The Walking Dead Online, that maybe that makes a little bit more sense now what I was getting at. I really do value everybody who's listening to this show and everybody who emails podcast@tkjingles.com or contacts me on Twitter or on the Facebook, because this is a mutual, you know, it's a two-way street. I'm putting out content, and if you like it, you're going to download it, and if you're not, you're not. I would appreciate your feedback for things you don't like, and especially for things you do like, so I can do more of that. So send me your feedback on this episode and other episodes from this past year. I have a lot of fun doing this. Last week, that Schwitzcast was so ridiculous, but looking back at it, that character, the voice of the arrogant narrator, I loved doing that. That was so much fun, and I thought it added such a joy to the show. I wish I could be that character every week on this show, but it would suck. I mean, if I was basically taunting people every week, I don't think it would be very enjoyable to listen to, but it was a heck of a lot of fun to do, and I think it turned out really well, and it was funny and everything else. So, all right, enough of me ranting about entertainment and all this stuff. I hope you found that interesting and that you maybe have some of your own opinions on that. You may agree with me, you may disagree with me. Send me your feedback. Let's talk about it. Join the conversation. Now let's play some new jingles, which is probably what you wanted anyway, now that we're about 9 minutes in here. So we got five new songs I wanted to play up front. The real great hit from last week, Sean Morrissey with Prop Me on the Counter, all about being propped up after you die so that people can come visit you at the wake in your favorite Lazy Boy chair and everything else. And then Robert Berg visited the show last week. I haven't listened to it yet because Tony's off this whole week, so I'm trying to queue up content so I have something to listen to a little bit every day. And so we have Robert Berg's song that aired there with some collaboration with some friends. And then Brad Weiss responding to that with a jingle called Every Day I Write the Book about, I assume, Brad White, Robert Berg's creative process and the notebook that he has as he writes the jingles. And then we'll play two new songs about Chessie the dog. The first by me, a continuation of my previous Joshua Caddison jingle, Chessie Part 2. And then Joe collaborating with John Welsh with Wonder Paw.
All these people gathered around you. Your stuff is everywhere. You've left it for Michael and for Liz, but we know they don't care. You're lofted up beside the sink. There is no wine or ice cream now. And the line is forming, and your body's not turning. Gonna leave you there just like a scene from Weekend at Bernie's. The room is filled with socialites. Alan Bubis works the crowd. They've closed up the palm and brought all the palm. 2015. And everyone must take a selfie with their favorite dead orange guy. Eulogy gets butchered by Sheehan and Nigel. They dressed you like a turkey and they propped you on the counter. Prop me on the counter. Put some Johnny Walker in my mouth. Oh, brought me on the counter. Please take something from the basement. Something from the basement as you go.
Move cans with a dozen coupons. Despite Genie's moralizing, he's undeterred. With Michelle Tafoya as a messenger bird. Walling, 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 walling when he gets it right. I believe I had that, he screams with delight. But much to Matt Kelleher's chagrin, when PTI's on the deuce, Satch's mailing it in. It's like that and like a true plutocrat.
Here's my card, trash.
He never hesitates to call Lewis Schreck a hack.
For the Tuesdays, I'm lowering manuscript. He'll rip as many people as 300 pages.
What's his motherfucking name?
Don't tell me you don't know the difference between a weekday and a weekday. Listens up to all the things he'll say, whether run through by a swordfish or eaten by a black bear. He'll craft a verbal ditty out of even your worst nightmare, and he's open for a decent hook. Every day, every day, every day, every day he writes in his notebook. Find a good song, and nearly half your work is done by verse two. He's found the fulcrum of the tune. We heard Tony said he knew how each column would end, but the incomparable will floor us by exhausting his thesaurus, and he's open for a decent hook. Every day, every day, every day, every day he writes in his notebook.
Well, I got Chelsea home now, and she's grown at a quite alarming pace. Mocking up my carpets, scarring up my face. You know, I bought her a nice little dog bed, but she tore through that real fast. Now I wrapped all my possessions in layers of bubble wrap. You know, I'm losing every battle, and tonight I lost the war. I bit Chessie on her little dog ears, and she just stared at me as if to ask, what was that for? Chessie, I never pictured how it was gonna be. When I take you for walks, you know you're walking me. Your bites are putting holes in my $900 jeans. Oh, Chessie, let's start over, and you can be the sheep. Oh, Chessie, who am I kidding? I know that I'm the sheep.
Today is gonna be the day that Chessie's gonna listen to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that mountain lion really respects you, you orange clown. You should tweet, yes I am the sheep, when you unlock your iPhone 4. I'm sure that Model T Ford was your answer at the Apple Store. I don't believe that any canine looks at you and thinks, alpha male. And all the dogs you've buried are still watching. And all the dogs in Washington are joking. There are many things that Chessie still would love to chew, you orange clown. Because Tony Tinker Tink is full of bonies. I know you're bald, but you should bite your dog.
Yeah, it's amazing if that actually works, biting your dog, they would understand that and somehow submit to you. So one of the more popular things in the last 6 months has been this clips show thing, where we take a clip from Tony's show and then play some of the songs that it inspired. I've got a real short clip here. If you ever feel like you want to contribute to the TK Jingles podcast, but you don't write songs or music or whatever, that would be a really great way to help me. If there's a part on the show where Tony says something absolutely ridiculous, or you hear there's a few songs about a particular segment and you send me a 30 to 60 second trimmed down version of it, it would really save me a lot of time. But I've started taking notes now as I'm listening to Tony's show with a little voice recorder, like, oh, listen to hour two, the 30 second minute, he says something stupid, so that I can queue up these segments without having to go back and figure out, now, where in the hell was that? And if you've never been to Bill Lehecka's website, thiswebsitestinks.com, the message boards where folks talk about this show, that's always my fallback plan. So if I can't remember where it was, usually somebody commented about it, and I can sort of pinpoint where in time that was by doing a search of the website. So thank you, Bill, and everybody that goes to that message board daily, because it always helps this podcast or podcast be even better. So there was a clip from a few weeks ago that I've had queued up for a rainy day. Today's a rainy day. About Tony saying things repeatedly and his rationale for doing that. And then we're going to play a few songs on that topic.
I said this here and on TV because I tend to say the same things just not to confuse people.
Because it's a chronicle of Mr. Tony's life. All the things he eats and the ways he's afraid of. No change, he won't change, he can't change, never change. It's the same every day, the same show every day. He finds a million different ways to say the same old thing. He won't change his show, oh no.
This is your friend, perhaps your only friend, but there are Hewlett High School friends. But really, are they actually your friends? Do you know? Orange Jacker on the TV and the podcast. Why do we download you? Put a little effort in your show. Littles are attuned to your annex. All of your foibles idiosyncratic. Put a little effort in your show. Another movie to see, shown at Mazza Gallery. It's the same old story, by the last act he's already asleep. I hear he's snacking again, and calling Jeannie a hen. Still more self-indulgent groans and countless pointless arguments. His insights all repeat, like a warped and scratched LP, it never ends. Orange Jacker now incapable of typing, wish we were done with you. Still I keep downloading your show. Littles are attuned to your annex. How the purple line puts you in a panic. How does all this constitute a show?
What is that sound? The old man again. He is pointing to the ground. Can't hold him down. There he goes again. Why was the orchid on the mound? He's doubling down on his point again. Telling everyone in town. He's really loud. Getting sick of this. Gonna turn my radio down. He made this point yesterday. He makes the same point every day.
He says the Nationals are the Capitals. Yep, the Nationals are the Capitals. He'll say it 22 times on a good day and 43 times on a bad day.
Mike and Burke's annoyed. He's so annoyed. He's so annoyed. What is that sound? The old man again. Beating his point into the ground. Can't hold him down. There he goes again. Why was the old...
I mentioned Laheka's website earlier. That tub-thumping jingle there was entirely written based on a rant between Mike and Burke and a few others on the message boards one day. So I do go there from time to time to check in on the show, because I usually don't listen live, but if I have a slight break, I might go and see what's going on. And so that's gotten me in trouble with some of the stuff with folks the champion mentioned, but otherwise, it's a great source just to chat about the show and learn about what's going on. And there's a lot of negativity on there, so be careful, but otherwise it's pretty great. So last week was the Schwitzcast. And in my opinion, that was peak Schwitz. We've reached the top of the mountain. We're at the summit. So there will be no Schwitz song today. And looking back, I've sort of burdened myself with things that were never meant to be regular features. That introduction song, the Schwitz, all the Coldplay stuff about He Who Shan't Be Named. It's just made it so much harder to actually put out TK jingles about Tony and his show. So I'm still going to keep doing a lot of these things, but as I've kind of developed a regular rhythm of how I record and write and all this stuff, it's just really made it hard to put out the volume of material that I would like. And I know that from what I gathered from Michael Kornheiser and others on Twitter talking about Robert Berg's appearance on the show, that the myth of the 15-minute jingle was dispelled by that conversation or something. But for me, because I'm trying to put out all this junk, it really still is that. So I've told Gary and Nigel and stuff that if I was there at 8 a.m. or whenever they start doing the show, by 9 o'clock, if I just can hear one segment, we'll have a jingle. And it may not be the best jingle ever. I mean, Wilbon's World, I wrote that over the course of 3 months. One show more took a few months, but for the most part, especially now that I don't have a lot of time for this, I spend maybe 2 or 3 hours a week where I used to spend 6 or 7. I'll get an instrumental track. I rarely play live anymore just because that takes too long to sit down and set all that up. But I'll get a track, I'll have a general idea, and I will start singing into the microphone. And after three or four takes, I kind of have a song. Maybe I'll refine it. Maybe I'm fortunate enough to have some time in my car to sing. So I've got some pretty god-awful demos of me mumbling to myself in the car on the drive home. But anyway, don't know where I'm going with that. Just wanted to kind of talk a little bit about what the state of TK Jingles right now is. Here we are, 3 years into this whole thing, getting ready for TK Jingles Live, Even Liver this summer. For those of you looking for updates, it looks very likely we're going to be in Northwest DC. Nigel's on vacation right now, so that's kind of on hold. But we have a venue that takes 600 people. They're adamant they don't want to have tickets or any way of registering people that come to the event. And so I assume we won't get more than 600 people. If that's the case, we'll be fine. If we do somehow get a large number like that, then... And that'll be my only regret, because this is sort of out of my hands if we have to turn people away. I really did want to have it ticketed in some way just so that we knew who was coming with RSVPs. But the station is confident we're not going to get that many people. So we will have to see how that goes. Those could be famous last words right there. I may look back at this broadcast. Oh, that was the moment. That was the moment you should have pushed back. But we'll see. And then one last thing on Liver. I was looking at the orders and the feedback for people that got t-shirts. And I was, for folks that only got one shirt, it's about 7 out of 10 that want the Even Liver shirt. But almost 20% want the Schwitz shirt, which is awesome. That's the only shirt they're getting is the Schwitz shirt. And that's what they wanted. So that tells me that at least a few people maybe like the Schwitz after all this nonsense we've been doing here. And I, you know, again, I may have said this before, but I generally don't like juvenile potty humor jokes. So it's so funny that I find the Schwitz so funny, and that's more just because the inside joke nature of it, not because it's about dudes being naked. Just something about that concept of eating in a bathrobe in a steakhouse, that's the joke, not so much all the innuendo and double entendre and stuff, although that is fun to write. So I wanted to end the musical segment now with some featured songs about Raju. Raju favorited something that I tweeted the other day, and it was just so damn funny to have your smartphone buzz and look down and it says, Raju Narasetti likes what you just tweeted. It's like, oh, yes, this is a seminal moment in the history of the show. So I've always taken the Wilbon position on Raju, that although I understand why Tony hates him, Tony wasn't writing anymore, so he fired him for not writing. It kind of makes sense. So Raju could be a total jerk, I don't know, but I... unless there's more to the story, I'm not sure what the grudge is all about. So anyway, I wrote a jingle about that a few years ago from Raju's point of view. And then we'll play a few more traditional Raju sucks songs. And then I'll play a few just random grab bag songs here. The number one jingle of the week we played earlier was that Who Am I by Robert Berg and Friends. But Mark Polidoros, who collaborated with me on a few of these, my college roommate who... coincidentally now works at the same company that I do, he happens to be coming to town the weekend of TK Jingles Live, Even Liver. So for those of you that are coming and expecting to see, you know, trots, 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 or bocce, bocce, balls, or something like that, I'm afraid to tell you that it's going to be Mark Polidoros and I on stage for 2 hours, and maybe we'll let, you know, Joe or Jason or somebody sing a song or two. But we're just going to do original materials. It's going to be our pure Danny Gans moment. We're going all in on original content. I am so excited about it. It's going to be fabulous. I hope you're ready. It's really going to be worth the price of admission, you know, free. So here we go. Some segments on some feature content on Raju, and then a little bit from Mark and I goofing around on the original mailbag theme.
I saw a former writer on TV last night. He mentioned me and then he cursed my name. I fired him 'cause he stopped writing, but that message fell on deaf ears. Still hates me after all these years. Oh, he hates me after all these years. Four in the morning, he's up before dawn and looking for something on TV. He writing? Why isn't he writing? He's got 5 hours before work.
Raju! Agu! I got a pink slip from a half-wit who was so pleased firing Pulitzer nominees. Raju! Miami Holmes rolls up GP. Raju! What awards are on your sink? Raju! While my golfing buddy Barack Obama nightly watches my show. How's that taste, bro? You jackass! Jackass! You jackass! Ah, you jackass.
So we've come to the end of another exciting episode of the TK Jingles podcast. I hope you enjoyed that ranting earlier, a little bit of a talkier episode than usual, but Tony was off this week, so hopefully you need a little bit more talking in your life. So as referenced there in the mailbag song, I wanted to read some of the iTunes reviews from this past week. So here's TJTC74. This podcast is fantastic, and I can't believe that I waited so long to subscribe. Listening to the episodes from 2014 is like my own personal podcast delay. Stupid sons of bitches, sales weasels. Keep up the fantastic work. I'm listening to the older episode and all of Satch's hilarious problems. The hatred of fire pits, the podcast delay, etc. that I forgot about, and they're all new again. I was choking. I was laughing so hard. And then Jay from Fort Myers says, in a work week that is comprised of complete insanity, the podcast always makes me laugh. These littles are true musical geniuses. Keep up the good work, Jerry. And even though the name podcast makes no sense, other than a terrible design error that led to that name, it always makes me smile when the reviews or the feedback actually say podcast and acknowledge that. So thank you, both of you. Then I had a couple of notes here from Andrew. He says, I'm starting my Sunday morning with a shadow, hashtag dames got a dame, which if you remember was my half-assed lazy sexist comment from The Shadow Part 2. And The Shadow Part 3 has been cast for the most part. The script is about 95% done. I'm in a bit of a Walking Dead moment where I'm trying to decide if I want to resolve the cliffhanger and just end it all now, or if I want to go on and have a part 4. But I think 3 will be enough. You know, they always say trilogies are enough. So, Andrew, you know, hang in there. The Shadow Part 3 is coming in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And then another comment here. Andrew says, while he was listening to those podcast episodes, he found himself singing along to Goodbye RG3, A New Low. And so it's always so nice to get that kind of feedback that folks feel ashamed of the joy they take in TK Jingles. Now here's some feedback on the Schwitzcast. Mike says, I've not had lunch yet because I'm sitting at my desk listening to Schwitz songs and I can't turn them off. And it turns out his computer was just stuck. Like the keyboard stopped responding, so he couldn't turn them off. It wasn't like he wanted to listen to it, but his keyboard was stuck. And then there's two comments here, Eli Steinberger and Mossman. And the first one is Eli discovering the Schwitz. He says, what precipitated schwitzsongs.club? I had my first Schwitz experience in Cleveland last weekend. And then went on to talk about how much he loved the Schwitz. And then Mossman, responding to the same thing as well, has never heard the Tony Kornheiser Show, is not a fan of this podcast or anything we do, but he discovered schwitzsongs.club and sent me a message that said, I was there last night, and by the way, these songs are epic. Yes, that is the ultimate success, that there are now, and there's a few people that listen, like my mom, who don't listen to Tony Kornheiser, but it's a very small audience. And so the idea that Mossman or even Eli or some other people have no idea I'm even talking about them right now, but took the time to go listen to schwitzsongs.club and really enjoyed it or maybe shared it with somebody else, that is so gratifying. And then Brian from Oak Hill has been very active lately with some very avant-garde jingles. And he recently discovered the podcast, so he sent me a very lovely and long email with some observations and some thoughts. I wanted to share 3 different little bits from that. So first, Brian warns everybody. He says, it has been 19 days since I first began listening to the TK Jingles podcast. I have now listened to the first 50 podcasts and my head is spinning. So, you know, 50 podcasts in 19 days. I guess maybe they were a little bit shorter back then, but that's a lot of jingles. So yeah, you got to take it easy on that or you're going to suffer from that infamous Negrelli fatigue syndrome. And then a second comment, I was very impressed with Scary Gary Allen. Great voice and production value. He is really, really good. And yes, if you've never heard that, my idol in terms of parody music growing up was not Weird Al Yankovic, but was a guy named Scary Gary Allen, who's a lot like me, just an amateur guy who was doing this for fun back in the late 80s, early 90s on the Dr. Demento show. So I interviewed Gary a couple of years ago, and it was like a kindred spirit just talking about this stuff. It was so much fun. And if you've never heard that interview, go back and see if you can find it. I play some of Gary's great songs, and you just get to hear a behind-the-scenes take from another parody artist who I have a great deal of respect for. And as Brian said here, he's really, really good. And then last from Brian, I'm loving the old-timey jingles, and I'm glad you asked for jingles from the future. Says you should do My Uber done to Harry Chapin's Taxi. That fits in since it refers to what happened back in 2016. And again, these little one-off segments like old-timey jingles or songs from the future, if we had a larger audience, maybe they would sustain. But just like TK Jingles Trivia, we go through phases where we have something that's really intense and it's there. The Schwitz is the latest example of that. I always like to bring these things back. So if you do have an old-timey jingle, a TK jingle from the 1920s or 30s, please send that to me. If you happen to have a new Schwitz song, I'd love to get that. If you happen to do a jingle from the future, as mentioned here, that would be really cool. I don't know what that would sound like. Maybe the Bill and Ted Excellent Adventure music or something. And then if you have trivia questions, we have folks from TK Jingles, from the message boards that join in, will answer your questions. So if there's something you want to know about Tony's show, about this podcast, whatever it is, send your email to podcast@tkjingles.com. Contact me at Jerry Negrelli on Twitter. That is the best way to get in touch with me quickly. And otherwise, I hope you enjoyed this talky episode and that maybe you got something out of it, either from my ranting or from some of these hilarious songs by the Littles of the Tony Kornheiser Show. If you have not yet made your reservations to come visit us June 25th, 2016 in D.C., you should go do that right now. Stop listening to this. Go book a flight. Go book your hotel. We got some folks coming from around the world staying at the Mayflower Hotel in D.C. You should stay there too. And then come join us Friday night at the Palm and then Saturday night at our mystery location. That's TBD. I'll be back here next week, April 13th, with another exciting episode of the TK Jingles Broadcast.
Running through a light, didn't see it changing red. Grabs her iPhone, sends a friend another text. Does her lipstick and sets the curling iron on low. People say she drives like crazy. At 25 she's doing 80. Is she a bit distracted maybe? Even when the light changes, moving violations you've never heard of, including some they hadn't thought of, but still she doesn't lift her head up. Even when the light changes, oh my God, now she's changing her shoes.
I would advise him to put my name prominently in that letter, you know, I mean, because I'm a pretty big wheel there.
Pretty big wheel.